Part 2. Your positive birth. Welcome to the birth section. Here we will cover the key things you need to know and understand about birth. I have kept it as concise as possible and will share with you only the things most women need to know. For any more in-depth questions about your individual circumstances, make sure you talk to your midwife or doctor. I won't get started again on the portrayal of birth in the media, but to be honest, it's mostly a load of nonsense. My family can't bear to watch any birth scenes with me as I annoyingly ruin the film by going off on a rant. Unfortunately, most women I meet have only seen the media's version of what birth looks like. The truth about birth is that some elements are unpredictable, and there is no one rule fits all. But if you take anything from the entire birth section, take this. Nobody fails at labour and birth. I didn't want to, it wasn't an option for me, or it was best to, are the best phrases when referring to any change of plan. The experience of being a midwife has allowed me to meet women from so many different walks of life, most ethnic origins, and various cultures. This has taught me that there are a lot of ways to have a positive birth experience, and no one way works for everyone. That said, I have noticed that women who have positive births seem to share common traits, regardless of age, ethnicity, birth setting, or type. These are a combination of 5 things. 1. Understanding the birthing body and support of natural female physiology, regardless of birth type. 2. Use of mind management tools such as breathing and relaxation techniques, regardless of birth type. 3. Mum in control, with trusted birth experts encouraging, supporting, and guiding if necessary. 4. Looking at the individual circumstances before and in combination with treatment if needed. 5. Prevention of complications, such as dehydration, positioning, and stalled labour. Having a more positive birth is about creating an experience in which you are fully informed and understand your options. You need to understand how your body works during birth so that you can work with it. Here, we will run through the most common situations and aim to crush any fears, your worst enemy in labour. Some mums have very kindly shared their birth stories for us throughout this section. Your toolkit. Where the mind goes, the body tends to follow. This section is about tools that can help you manage labour, work with your body, release fear, and create the best mindset to deal with any situation in the most positive way possible. This section is all about you creating a toolkit to use during pregnancy and labour, and starts with a positive mindset. So let's start with the most positive fact about labour. The majority of time spent in labour is resting. The time spent relaxing and doing nothing is about 70%. This is because most women in established labour will have around 3 contractions in 10 minutes, each lasting up to 1 minute. So, in a 10-minute period, about 7 of those minutes are spent resting. As reassuring as that is to know, I also appreciate there is a lot more that goes on inside your head before and during labour. Fear is a big issue during the lead up to birth, so let's talk about this now. Saying goodbye to fear. Women often become hyper aware of their safety during pregnancy and birth, which is entirely natural. Things you weren't worried about before now play on repeat in your mind. If you can learn to overcome fear or develop tools to manage it with renewed confidence, a whole new world opens up and your entire perception changes. All fears about birth hold you back, but they don't have to anymore. Fear and anticipation of an experience are often worse than the experience itself. When you focus on a bad outcome, you feel like you're living in it in those moments, and so does your body. Fear during birth can make everything tougher. The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Franklin D. Roosevelt. Your mind believes what you tell it. Next time you're hungry, picture your favourite food vividly. You won't even need to see or smell it, but your mouth waters. Pizza gets me every time, even when I'm not particularly hungry. As the mind and body are so well connected, I've suggested to some of my patients that they try the brain dump and unpack their own thoughts. If you are scared about something, start with what's going on in your mind right now. Write down any of your fears in a notebook. By doing this, those fears are no longer an internal neurological circuit firing off around your brain. That old saying, a problem shared is a problem halved, is so true. But you don't need to share your fears with someone if you don't want to. Writing it down or admitting this to yourself is a good place to start. Once you have identified your fears, interrogate them. Find out just how they got there. In order to change something, we first need to understand it. So ask yourself, is this a deep-rooted fear you've held for many years, or is this a more recently learned fear? Is it rational, or have you jumped to a conclusion? Take a moment to really think about why you fear something. If you have any specific fears or worries that have developed about or during your pregnancy, simply talking to your midwife or doctor can help. Stuff can come up that you have been suppressing, and just chatting through it can dissolve your worry. I find that a lot of fear surrounding birth comes from horrible stories other people have told my patients, or what the media tells us about birth. Take any of those stories that have scared you straight to the dumping ground. If you wrote it down, physically screw it up and chuck it out. The experience you heard about or read about is not yours, and it will never be, because no two births are the same. Fear that comes from a previous loss or traumatic event is slightly different, as that is your personal experience. If you have lost a baby, remember that this is a different pregnancy at a different time. Until you have your baby in your arms, an element of fear may still be there. But being open about your fear and previous experience and addressing it can reduce the power fear may have over you, your experience, and having this baby at this time. Always talk to your midwife about how you are feeling to help release fear and address if you need any further support during your pregnancy. You are going to understand all of your options, you are going to be in control, and you are going to be well supported. Every living being will experience fear. It's inevitable and unavoidable. But you can go beyond the menace of fear. It's possible to use fear to transcend your imagined limitations and find your true self. Muji. After you have addressed, dissolved, or dumped your fear, you don't want anyone else to dump their bad experience back into your brain. Anytime someone starts offloading, tell them you don't want to talk about it right now. Instead, maybe let them know you're happy to talk about it after you've had your baby. There is a time and place for debriefing, and that's not with you during your pregnancy, thank you very much. As Ina Mae Gaskin says, it is bad manners to be scaring pregnant women. So don't feel bad about shutting them down, because your psychological well-being is more important than their desire to tell you about their experience. Women and their families worry about all kinds of things. But the top two most common fears I hear are not having a healthy baby and pain in labour. Let's pull these top two apart right now, and then move on to creating your positive toolkit. An extra note on fear. If you are developing or have known tocophobia, a significant fear of childbirth, this brain dumping may not help you. Talk to your midwife about your other options as soon as possible. The idea of a healthy baby. In the Western world, we are extremely lucky to have access to amazing maternity healthcare, treatment, and life-saving technology. We are always working to prevent ill health, rather than wait to cure it. Midwives, doctors, and other healthcare professionals work tirelessly to improve healthcare and long-term outcomes. Being fearful that something may happen to your baby is natural, but it's not helpful because fear and trust cannot coexist. Your baby is in the safest and best place for you both. A trained professional will be caring for you, and someone you trust will be with you. What is worrying going to do to help you have a healthy baby? It might give you a distorted, negative view of your own ability. Use up precious brain power and energy mulling over what-ifs, which you really don't need. If you have a concern, worry, or gut feeling something isn't right, always call your midwife. But unless that is the case, try to let go of this fear and stay rooted in reality so you can build trust in your own ability and your midwife. There's an interesting and real tearjerker TED Talk by Carney Liddell, who is a Paralympic swimmer from Australia. She makes us deeply question the desire for a healthy baby. She asks if having a certain body automatically equates to being happy and successful. Does it guarantee you joy and prosperity, or even health? This statement really made me question my own perception of what we perceive to be healthy. She says, "There are plenty of able-bodied people that are miserable, not healthy, overly happy, or successful. So why is it okay to assume disability is lesser than, and associate disability as being an automatic reduction in the status as a person? Why is it okay to say that a disability is your worst nightmare? I think the most disabling thing we do to ourselves is this quest for normality and hunger for perfection." She concludes her point by reminding us that, to a certain extent, we can't always control being healthy. So why don't we chuck that word aside and replace it with wanting a happy baby? Thinking about pain. You have options available to help you with any pain you might experience. There is so much that you can do to manage your own pain, and we are going to cover the best, most researched, and proven pain management tools soon. But always remember that, if needed, you can use medication and move on to an epidural. It is perfectly okay to do that if you want to. Labour will be manageable with your unique toolbox, all the pain relief medication you have access to, and the support you have available from midwives and your birth partner. You can do this. Reframing how you think about a challenge is used by celebrities, top CEOs, and professional athletes. Runners use the reframing technique all the time. They tell themselves how much they love hills and reframe how they look at running up a hill. Guess what? Those that use reframing experience the run differently and have a better chance of running to the top of that hill. When it comes to the pain of labour, reframing how you think about it can really change your experience of it. Here are some suggestions for you to think about. Contractions are useful and are working towards a life-changing moment as they come and go. Contractions are different to any other type of pain the human body experiences. If you break your leg, it hurts because you aren't meant to move a broken leg. Your body is protecting you from further injury. The pain of contractions is positive because you need them to have your baby. There is an end goal in sight, and each contraction is getting you closer to meeting your baby. There's a difference between natural and unnatural pain. It is an unfair comparison when people say things like, "Well, you wouldn't have a tooth out without painkillers." No, Sherlock, you wouldn't want to do this. But the pain of having a tooth extracted is an unnatural pain, even if it's necessary. Something has gone wrong in order for you to need it out. That is different to a normal, healthy, and natural birth. I'm not saying labour and birth in any way is pain-free, but it is a different kind of pain, possibly the most useful pain you will ever experience. It's useful to note too that not all women experience pain in labour. I have looked after women who have used reframing and said, "It was powerful and hard work, but it wasn't painful. I would do it all again." A-way visualization. Let's try a bit of reframing and use a visualization now. Imagine it is a beautiful day and you are at the beach. You are lying on a lilo a little way from the shore. You can see the beach, and your favourite people are on the shore. In order to get to them, all you need to do is relax and let the Lilo carry you there on the waves. The tide carries you. Each wave is bringing you closer and closer to the shore. During the pauses between waves, you are totally relaxed and at peace, enjoying the calm, peaceful ocean before the next wave comes to carry you closer. Birth is a little bit like the waves on the beach. To meet your baby, you need to relax and go with the waves, contractions. They carry you there more easily if you allow them to. Each wave is bringing you that little bit closer to your baby. Creating a home in hospital. If hospital environments scare you, but it is safer for you to give birth there, then you can use reframing. Try to think about how lucky you are to be able to give birth in such a safe place for you and your baby. Focus more on the ways that you can still create the birth you want, and think about all the things that will make your transition from home to hospital less daunting. This could be something like bringing your own pillow and blanket in, a picture to pop on the bedside table, or one in your bag to look at when you want to. These little things really help you to feel more positive and at ease. The significance of smell. Our sense of smell is so underrated, yet it is intrinsic to almost everything we experience. For example, without our sense of smell, taste is only salty, sour, sweet, and bitter. We are heavily dependent on smells to taste flavour. Smell seriously improves our quality of life. This is all down to what is called the olfactory bulb, which begins in the nose and runs to the bottom of the brain. The two areas it is connected to are the amygdala and hippocampus, and are thought to be mostly involved in processing memories and emotion. The interesting part is that our other senses, visual, sound, and touch, don't pass through these sections of the brain, which may explain why we have such strong reactions to familiar scents. Ever sprayed an old perfume and been taken straight back to that time in your life? Weird, isn't it? Someone sprayed Charlie Red in a shop aisle recently, and I was instantly transported back to being 15 years old in the PE changing rooms. During labour, we should be using this strong memory link to our advantage and create new memories attached to smells. My suggestion is to take a scented bath towards the end of your pregnancy. Only use oils that are safe for your gestation. Run a nice warm bath, or tepid if it's summer and you're sticky. Pop a drop of lavender oil in, and as you swish the water around, take some nice, deep breaths and enjoy the feeling of calm, private peace. If you do this regularly, you will start to associate the smell of lavender with calmness and safety. Have the lavender oil with you during labour, and you can tap into this feeling through the scent. Aromatherapy use in labour, especially if you are in a hospital environment, can be a real game changer and can help to reduce anxiety, nervousness, and even nausea. The NHS have started investing in training midwives in aromatherapy because its beneficial impact on labour and birth. Here are the most popular essential oils and their properties. Clary Sage, one of the most popularly used oils in labour. It helps with muscle spasms and is thought to aid dilation of the cervix. Chamomile is a lovely, soothing oil that aids relaxation. Sweet citrus. Uplifting. It can help with depression and calms nerves, and most other oils blend well with citrus too. Lavender. One of my general favourites. It is an antiseptic and is known to have a lovely calming effect too. I mix it with peppermint and grapeseed oil and use this as a massage oil. Frankincense. One of my personal favourites. It is most commonly used during transition, the time when you are almost ready to push. It is calming, soothing, and a meditative oil. Jasmine. Known for its antiseptic, uterotonic, and restorative properties. This oil is quite strong and should not be used before 37 weeks. Note: essential oils are powerful, so discuss using them with a midwife or an aromatherapist. Do a patch test before using them on your skin. Dim the lights. One of the most exciting and recent advantages in the relationship between modern medicine and ancient wisdom is a trial using melatonin to induce women. Melatonin is a hormone that helps to regulate our sleep-wake cycle and induce sleep. It is produced naturally and released by the pineal gland. Melatonin responds to light and dark and is known as the Dracula of hormones because it is released in darkness and scared off by light. A recent trial in Australia confirms what many of us thought. Low lighting helps labour progression. Melatonin encourages the production of oxytocin, which is essential for labour, and we'll cover other oxytocin enhancers later on. Research shows that the myometrial tissue, muscle tissue in the uterus, becomes responsive to melatonin's prompts during labour. Using biopsy samples, scientists found the tissue expressed the melatonin 2, MT2 receptor during labour, something that was not found in a non-pregnant uterus. What this tells us is that when the lighting is low or dim in the birthing room, your body has the opportunity to progress labour normally using its natural workings that it has especially prepared during your pregnancy. How clever is that? I have also noticed that dim lighting usually means quieter voices. I guess this is because we associate darkness with sleeping, and we don't want to wake the person up. This is perfect in labour, because when you are in the zone, you don't want to be woken up or startled out of it unnecessarily. Dim lighting also helps women feel less observed, especially if they are hardly wearing anything or are completely naked, both very common. You can request dim lighting in all hospital birth settings and ask for us to work around you. There have been plenty of times when I have dimmed the lights at high-risk births and had only a lamp directing the light on the monitors or paperwork I need to see. The entire room doesn't have to be bright clinical lights, unless there is a true emergency or you're in theatre. Massage and touch. Massage and touch can both help to ease contractions and can generally make you feel more relaxed, if you like it, of course. Massage is known to increase blood supply, decrease heart rate, help with lymphatic drainage, increase oxytocin, and decrease stress hormones like cortisol. You don't need a professional masseuse in the birthing room with you. You can get your birth partner to do it, and they love knowing that they're helping in some way. Massage is usually a case of exploration and experiment, but most women prefer a firm lower back massage rather than a light shoulder rub. Grapeseed oil is the recommended massage oil for labour. You can also add essential oils of your choice to the oil for maximum effect. Here's a simple back massage technique. Starting at the base of your lower back, with one hand either side of the spine, use your hands to massage up and out. Imagine the spine is a tree trunk and their fingers are the palm tree leaves, spreading outwards. Repeat as often as you like. Warm flannels. Compresses placed on the sacrum, the area just above your coccyx, during labour can provide some relief from contractions. You can add aromatherapy oil too if you like. Women with an OP, occiput posterior, or back-to-back baby find this massage particularly comforting, but it can take its toll on the birth partner's hands. A handheld massager can come in handy here to give their hands a break too. Sometimes women who usually love a massage don't fancy one in labour, so touch, stroking, and hand-holding are great replacements. A study by pain researcher, Dr. Goldstein, revealed that when an empathetic partner holds the hand of a woman in pain, their heart rate and respiratory rate sink, and her pain is reduced. This could be a partner or a midwife. Dr. Goldstein led this study after his hand-holding seemed to really help his wife, and thought that touch could be a tool for communicating empathy, resulting in an analgesic or painkilling effect. Affirmations. Not so long ago, affirmations, positive self-talk, weren't very popular or taught in antenatal education. Sometimes people would laugh or brush off the power of affirmations. My friend once said, "It's not about wishful thinking. I need some real help to deal with what's coming, damn it." The greatest athletes to ever walk the planet and many global A-listers use affirmations, positive thinking, and self-talk. Muhammad Ali would say things like, "I am the greatest." Because he was a talented boxer, willing to dedicate hours to training, he knew he could be the greatest. It was a realistic affirmation for him, and then he put in the work. Affirmations have helped many people reach a goal, get to the top of their game, and dig deep in times of self-doubt. Although affirmations are now making their way into birth, it's worth squashing common misconceptions about them. They aren't just for hippies or wishful thinkers, but on the flip side, simply believing you can doesn't guarantee you can. Some aspects of birth are unpredictable, and all the affirmations in the world can't change that. The sweet spot is focusing on realistic and honest positive self-talk that is unique to you. Affirmations work best when 1. They are realistic for you. 2. You believe them. And 3. You learn what to do. I have listed some suggested affirmations for you, but it is worth creating your own that are meaningful and feel right for you, because you need to believe these with sincerity. Then make your chosen affirmations into posters. Pop them around your room, next to or on the bathroom mirror, and say them out loud or go over them as often as possible. You may also want to bring affirmations with you wherever you give birth, especially if you need to travel in the car. Sometimes the car journey in can be a little daunting or uncomfortable, as you have to stay still. Having your affirmations handy can help you stay in a positive mindset. I will make the best decision for me and my baby. I trust my true instincts and listen to my body. I breathe in confidence and trust. I breathe out fear and tension. I trust my body. My baby is the best birthing partner. I am safe and feel calm within. I am powerful. Women worldwide are birthing with me. I am open. Positive social media. Consider putting positive social media accounts such as at the Positive Birth Movement, at Birth Without Fear, at Melissa Jean Babies, at Hannah B Photography UK, at Empowered Birth Project, podcasts, birth stories, and birth photography in your labour toolkit too. Open up to social media that is going to support you and build upon your positive mindset. This opening up creates a new narrative about birth and gives you the opportunity to see birth in a positive way. Ina May Gaskin has a great TED Talk on her experiences as a midwife, reducing fear of birth in US culture. And there's a golden oldie video on YouTube that I recommend you watch called Birth in the Squatting Position, with many different women giving birth naturally. Most women having a baby have not actually seen a birth, and on many social media accounts and YouTube, you can watch beautiful births. You may then find that you are more able to come up with visualizations when you have seen births that inspire you. Key points. 70% of labour is resting. Face your fears. Identify what's bothering you and why, and then you can work out what to do with them. Where the mind goes, the body tends to follow. Put together your unique positive mental labour toolkit. Seek out positive social media to build your own narrative of what labour and birth is like. Step out of the way and trust your body. Understanding how birth works and working with your natural female physiology may help you to get closer to the birth you have in mind. It is surprising how little most of us know or are taught about birth, other than the ingrained message of, it's going to hurt. As we've taken that fear to the dumping ground, it is time to fill the space you have created with knowledge and confidence. The birthing female body is incredibly powerful, and it is about time every woman knew how it really works, regardless of where or how you have your baby. So this section will explain how to help your labouring body, no matter where you give birth. The science behind the birthing brain. The human brain plays an important role in protecting us, processing new information, and helping us overcome obstacles. The capabilities of the brain are extraordinary. Neuroscientists have shown that our brains are soft-wired and are capable of neuroplasticity, meaning that we can rewire our brains. There have been cases where people who have suffered serious brain injuries have returned to their normal self with the right support and rehabilitation. My all-time favourite TED Talk by Jodie Bolt Taylor, My Stroke of Insight, shows us just how able and adaptable our beautiful brains are. A healthy brain is always capable of learning. This allows us to change, grow, and overcome our fears. I could waffle on about this, but let's get to the point about birth. Understanding the basics of how your brain works during labour can really help prevent a stalled or slow labour. Speeding up labour is not guaranteed, but understanding the brain definitely helps. There are three main sections in the brain: the neocortex, or human brain, the mammalian brain, and the reptile brain. The neocortex and the mammalian brain are the two parts of the brain that impact every woman's birth. The reptile, or cerebellum part of your brain, controls the basic body functions and primitive survival circuits. Your brain in action. The neocortex is the most modern part of the brain, the managing director, and it is useful for daily tasks like planning for things, reasoning, and conscious thought. It controls what sets us apart from other species. However, in some situations, we need to slow it down and stop it from taking over so another part of our brain, mammalian, can function at its best. The perfect example of a time when you need to turn down your neocortex is during sex. What were you thinking about when you had the best sex of your life? Were you worrying about who could hear you or if something went wrong? Probably not. You were most likely absorbed in the moment and not thinking. You can't enjoy sex properly if your mind starts wondering or worrying because your neocortex has now become active and your mammalian brain can't take over and relax. This is the same concept with labour and birth. Labour and birth are primal and instinctive. You can help encourage it all along with the right company and environment, but it's not something you actively do. Labour and birth are something that happens. There's a really simple secret to an easier labour. When your mind stays relaxed, your body gets on with what it needs to do, allowing hormonal synchronicity. When relaxed, your brain has the best opportunity to send all of the right signals to help your body labour, and it does all the work for you. Just like an orgasm, you can't force it. Birth, like orgasm, will usually only happen in the right environment when the mind lets go and you're completely relaxed. In terms of how the brain is working, you're turning off your thinking or neocortical activity, giving your physical reflexes a chance to work. In the context of birth, this is known as fetal ejection reflex. This is when a baby is born with no conscious effort or voluntary movements, and it explains why women can give birth even whilst in a coma. The good news is that it doesn't just happen when women are unconscious. I have seen this happen many times with women who have really been able to mentally step out of the way, go within, and trust their body. When the mind is stimulated, overactive or fearful, the body slows down labour. Our conscious mind literally gets in the way. This response is an evolutionary defense mechanism and can happen even when there's only a perceived threat. Imagine a laboring woman, thousands of years ago, vulnerable to dangerous prey. If she needed to escape, her body would need to stop laboring. The body reacts to information you are giving it. For example, you see a tiger, the stress hormones are activated, oxytocin is reduced, labor stops or slows, and the woman has a chance to get away. Ever had a nightmare and woken up really believing what happened and feeling full of fear, with the heart racing and sweating? It takes a while to calm down, doesn't it? That perceived threat is an example of how powerful the mind and imagination are, and the effects they have on the physical body. The body doesn't yet have the ability to tell the difference between a perceived threat and a real threat, so it treats them the same. You think there is a threat, stress response activated. You see a real threat, stress response activated. Sometimes women don't allow themselves to let go during labour and birth. They worry about making noises, swearing, farting, and pooing. Let anything out that wants to come out. Honestly, midwives couldn't give a damn, and there's not a lot we haven't heard, smelt, or seen. So if you're worrying about what we'll think, please don't. Diverting energy to your human brain by analysing or worrying doesn't only slow labour down, but it also wastes your precious mental energy. Have you ever spent an hour sitting down with someone who needs to offload and felt completely drained afterwards? That's because they have been sucking up your mental energy and taking your focus to various toxic or emotionally draining topics. This kind of mental exhaustion is exactly the kind you want to avoid during labour. Your mammalian brain is partly responsible for sending signals to your body that affect the natural progression of labour. These trigger a release of the birth-dependent hormones, oxytocin, beta endorphins, your natural pain relievers, and melatonin. In conjunction with some other things like your baby's position, remember your UFO position. Oxytocin leads labour progression. Oxytocin is released by your nervous system, so it isn't something you can consciously control, but you can encourage it in many ways. Even though oxytocin has so much power, it is still a very shy leader and will only come out and work its magic when you turn your neocortex down and provide the right environment. Another way I explain this to my patients is to imagine the type of environment you prefer to have sex in. Perhaps dim lighting, maybe some candles, a bit of background music, and in private. Now imagine having sex in bright lights, with people watching, clinical smells, random voices and noises right outside the door. You wouldn't be able to relax, would you? The birth hormone. We have around 100 hormones in our bodies, and as far as we know, the main hormone responsible for labour is oxytocin, aka the love hormone. You probably would have felt that fuzzy rush of oxytocin during sex, whilst having a snuggle on the sofa, or even when you've had your hair played with. Anything that makes you feel safe and relaxed can release oxytocin. Once I was lost and having a crap day. I asked someone for directions in the street, and this sweet older lady spoke really calmly with a gentle smile, finishing with, "Are you going to be okay getting there, my love?" I felt all fuzzy and warm, but then thought to myself, did I just get a rush of oxytocin from directions? There are many ways to encourage oxytocin during labour and birth. Relax. Your body needs to be relaxed. Tension increases pain, which increases fear, and therefore stress hormones, preventing the natural flow of oxytocin. Remember to keep your jaw nice and relaxed too. Massage helps many of us relax, and some women like to try nipple stimulation to help them relax and release oxytocin. Give it a go if you like. Get comfortable. You need to get into positions where you feel most comfortable. Towards the end of labour, this can be a challenge, but as your labour progresses, use your ball, go on your side, stand, or lean over the bed and consider getting into water to help ease any backache. So many women get great relief from the pool. In early labour, the bath can be nice, but in established labour, or close to pushing, the pool is best as it allows you to get into positions you might not be able to on dry land, and there's more room. It's not just about physically feeling comfortable, but mentally comfortable and confident too. Remember that everything is flexible and you always have options. You don't have to do anything. Trust. You need to really trust your midwife, birth partners, your body, and your baby to all work together as a team. This helps you to relax, feel comfortable and confident. Trust that you have and are doing everything you can to have a positive birth experience, and so is your body. Be uninterrupted. Your mammalian brain should be uninterrupted by your neocortex, and being in a relaxed environment without perceived threats allows this. The best birth environment for oxytocin to be released would have these features. Dimly lit. As you know, melatonin affects labour progressing, and you have gained some extra receptors in pregnancy, so make the most of them by keeping the room as dimly lit as possible. You can also get flameless candles, so you might want to bring those in with you if you're in an MLU or hospital. Quiet. Loud noises or voices can be distracting and start off unnecessary communication with your neocortex, inhibiting that precious flow of oxytocin. Gentle music or hypnobirthing tracks can help prevent any internal noise. Quiet is also an environment most of us work best in, regardless of what we are doing. Calm. A calm atmosphere reflects safety. Wherever you are, you will have chosen the safest place for you and your baby. Make sure your birth partners keep the environment calm and keep themselves nice and calm. A person's demeanour can change the calmness of the environment. Private. As oxytocin is shy, it needs some privacy to perform at its best. Even if you are in a hospital environment, you can request as much privacy as possible. Keep your birth space private and intimate. If you are at home, go to the room or place where you feel most sheltered. It is common for women having a home birth to plan to give birth in the lounge, but end up on the bathroom floor. It shows how instinctive it is to seek privacy. We have synthetic versions of oxytocin in hospital, and we mainly rely on these versions to progress induction or speed up labour. We give you the synthetic version of oxytocin into your vein via an intravenous infusion drip. One difference to understand is that when natural oxytocin is released in the body, it peaks and then drops back to a baseline. This is different from when we administer synthetic oxytocin, which is continuous. Your natural oxytocin is released into the brain, which is really beneficial to the birthing body and for the postnatal period. Synthetic oxytocin does not reach the brain. Some would argue that it doesn't matter if you have synthetic oxytocin or natural oxytocin because it's the same thing. We now know that how women get oxytocin does affect how it works in the body. That's not to say if you need the synthetic version for induction that it is bad. If your plan needs to change, the best thing you can do is accept your current circumstances and know that you are making the right decision for you and your baby at the time. If you have SINTO, as us midwives call it, that doesn't mean everything else has to go out of the window. In fact, your birth plan may be useful now more than ever. The fear and pain cycle and how to break it. Life is all about cycles, young to old, day to night, summer to winter. In birth, feeling fearful can bring you into an unhelpful cycle. Fear leads to tension, which leads to pain, which leads to more tension, more fear, more pain, and slower progression. Muscle tension caused by fear results in more pain, ultimately slowing progression in labour. This cycle has been understood and documented as early as the 1900s. Dr. Grantley Dick Reed is quoted saying, "Anything that disturbs the confidence and peacefulness of the mother disrupts the neuromuscular harmony of her labour." In childbirth, fear and the anticipation of pain give rise to natural protective tensions in the body. Unfortunately, the natural muscular tension produced by fear also influences the muscles that close the womb and thus delay the progress of labour and create pain. The vicious circle of the fear, tension, pain syndrome is responsible for the pain of labour. I disagree that fear is entirely responsible, but there is no doubt in my mind that fear plays a significant role in pain perception. Try to opt out of this cycle and instead opt into this more positive forward cycle. More positive forward cycle. Relaxed leads to becoming more trusting, which leads to less fear, less pain, more relaxed, which leads to a smoother labour progression. Opting into the forward cycle is the best thing you can do if you want a calmer, shorter, more positive birth. So how the hell do you relax when you're about to give birth to another human? Was what one of my heavily pregnant friends asked me after I started to explain birth biology and these cycles. I get it. It is totally unrealistic to know how to suddenly switch off the neocortex and just relax. Your positive mental labour toolkit and oxytocin enhancers will help you massively here. But here are some other techniques to practice throughout your pregnancy. The language of contractions. Recently, people have started to use the word surge in place of contractions. I understand that surge may be a better word and has more positive connotations than contraction, but the word is deeply embedded in maternity. It takes a long time to create change around language use, especially when clinical guidelines refer to the word contraction. It is likely that you will be asked about your contractions by professionals. Some mums are not familiar with the word surge either. To ensure that everyone understands what we are talking about, I will use the word contraction rather than surge in this book. How to switch off your advanced brain during birth. Switching off the advanced part of the brain, the neocortex, during birth isn't necessarily easy, but it is very doable with practice, more practice, and, you guessed it, a bit more practice. I've seen many different women from different backgrounds at different kinds of births achieve a state of surrendered relaxation. Like anything worth achieving, the preparation usually takes longer than the event itself. An Olympic sprinter will spend years training, but their biggest achievement is over in seconds. People spend months, even years, planning a wedding, and it's over in a day. The preparation for the event is what makes it. Whilst it is a great thing, positive thinking alone won't get you into the right state of mind. Of course, it's far better than negative thinking, but practicing relaxation, breathing techniques, and mindfulness regularly over time is what works. You need to practice breathing and relaxation techniques daily. It is never too early or too late to start. There are different breathing and relaxation techniques out there, but I'm a fan of hypnobirthing, and I'm a qualified KG hypnobirthing teacher myself. I decided to do the formal training because the most peaceful births I have attended have been with women who have used hypnobirthing, and the best thing about it is that it can be used for any birth. Hypnobirthing. Hypnobirthing is a form of evidence-based antenatal preparation that follows a logical and simple approach to mind management during birth. It uses breathing techniques, relaxation, touch, music, visualizations, self-hypnosis, and education to help women have calmer, more positive births. Although hypnobirthing has become popular in recent years, it has been around for a very long time. Breathing, relaxation, and self-hypnosis are ancient techniques that are used globally. Some NHS hospitals also offer hypnobirthing classes. There are various physical classes, digital packs, books, and free YouTube videos to teach you about hypnobirthing. To some extent, I think hypnobirthing is built into midwifery heritage, because it is about working with your natural female physiology and understanding the birthing brain and body. Breathing affects your brain. Breathing techniques slow down the autonomic nervous system, turning down stress hormones so they can't inhibit your flow of oxytocin. Relaxed breathing alone reduces fear and increases feelings of trust, because it slows down cerebral activity, the neocortex, and puts you in touch with your intuition, taking you from the physical to the internal. To the body, feelings are chemical messengers in the blood. So if we can influence your feelings, we can change the chemicals in your blood. It is that simple, and it can start with breathing. Some women like to practice breathing techniques with their birth partners during labour, because they feel as though someone is in the same mental space and is coaching them through. Other women prefer to get into their own zone and use their own breathing and visualization techniques. If you prefer to do this, breathe deeply and calmly. Avoid panting like you see on TV. After practicing a few times, you'll get to know what works best for you. Whatever you choose, your aim is to help your body become as relaxed as possible and your mind to be as calm and peaceful as possible. Your body spends the majority of labour softening, thinning, and opening your cervix. The uterine muscle fibres are also drawing up and bunching at the top of your tummy. That's why midwives will touch the top of your tummy to feel your contractions, even though you feel the sensation low down. We can only feel from the top. Calm breathing during labour helps this process to happen. Breathing in labour. Breathing can be a real help during birth. I recommend up breathing and down breathing. Up breathing is what you'll be using from first contractions until you are ready to push, which is when you'll switch to down breathing. Try to practice up breathing every day between now and when baby arrives. 1. Sit comfortably. Breathe in through your nose slowly and deeply. 2. Now breathe out through your mouth slowly, through slightly parted lips. Your out-breath needs to be a little longer than your in-breath. 3. Try this again. This time you can count. Try in for 4 and out for 6. Calmly, peacefully, and softly. 4. Now try breathing in for 4 and breathing out for 8. 5. Choose whatever you are most comfortable with, out for 6 or 8, and repeat this 5 times. And 6. Notice how you now feel after just a short practice of this technique. 5 repetitions of up breathing usually takes around 1 minute, which is about the same amount of time a contraction takes to build and peak and lower again. If you practice this daily, you will become familiar with these reps. When you're in labour, you just need to get through 5 breaths for each contraction. You can do it. When women are in this relaxed state of calm breathing, or the zone, as many refer to it, they experience less fear and pain. So their bodies labour more easily because they are being provided with oxytocin encouragers. Your contractions are far more effective when you're in this state too. I have seen first-time mums labour like they have had babies before whilst using these techniques. Some have gone from 2 centimetres to fully dilated in just a few hours. Visualisation in labour. Alongside breathing, visualisation can be very powerful during labour because the mind and body are able to work even more closely together. And that's the aim of the game. Imagine anything that helps you to focus up and out, particularly on the longer out-breath. Your cervix and muscles of the uterus need to open up. This is where you should really let go and release. Here's an example to try. Imagine the sunrise coming up and out from the sea on the horizon as you breathe in. Really picture the beautiful change in colours. Then, as the sun rises up into the sky, breathe out. Stay focused on the peaceful movement of the sun and the tranquil, soft colours. Imagine a beautiful big oak tree, sucking water up and breathing out. Imagine all the clean, renewing nutrients delicately reaching all the branches and leaves, calmly and peacefully, moving up and out. Visualize this image as you breathe in and out. You could also use the Lilo one we practiced earlier if you liked it. I often practice calm breathing when I'm beginning to feel stressed, like when I'm stuck in traffic or en route to work. If I can't close my eyes and visualize, I find simply thinking about breathing in clean, nutritious oxygen and breathing out all fear and tension really helpful. The more you do it in these normal daily situations, the more your brain and body get used to it. Generally, you should start to feel calmer in stressful or difficult situations. Down breathing. Down breathing is a slight switch in breathing technique for the pushing or second stage of labour. When you're fully dilated and feel the need to push, we consider that to be in the second stage of labour. You may feel a change of direction within your body and start to naturally feel pushy, as midwives say. You'll know when you need to switch breathing techniques. This is about breathing with more intent and action behind it. You want to breathe in a little quicker through your nose and breathe out slowly with pure, downward intent through your nose. You may also make some involuntary moo sounds with this. Don't worry, it's a sign that your body is doing all the right things. You may find that nose breathing goes out the window as you are pushing. You may want to control the breath through your nose, but you just can't as your breathing changes with your body. If this is the case for you, breathe in any way that feels right, as long as you are focusing all of your energy downwards. A good time to practice this down breathing is on the loo, especially if you have constipation. Try not to force or push while you're doing this. You want to breathe in and breathe out with focused downward intent. It's more of a mental process of directing your breath downwards. This can be a little more difficult than the up breathing for some, because there's no counting involved. But once you've given it a go on the loo, you should get the hang of it, and may be surprised at how well downward breathing helps constipation. Try to add visualizations to down breathing too. Imagine opening like layers of a rosebud, gently and softly unfolding and opening with ease. This can help you imagine or visualize opening and creating space for your baby. Visualize a sensation or intention of dropping the pelvis towards the ground, while allowing anything above your pelvis to float upwards towards the sky to assist gravity to do its job. Rather than thinking of forcing your baby out, imagine an expanding opening for your baby to navigate and exit their way out into the outside world. Relaxation for every birth. You don't need a particular set of circumstances to be able to get into a calm and relaxed state when you have practiced and trained your brain. I have looked after women who have needed an emergency C-section and used hypnobirthing. One woman told me that while she was lying on the operating table waiting for the obstetrician, in her mind, by using breathing and visualization, she was relaxing under a tree. She felt much calmer for being able to do this. So many mums have said that they don't know what they would have done without hypnobirthing during their labour and birth. If your circumstances change in labour, the best thing you can do is accept the change of course. If you have considered the risks, if there are any, looked at alternative options, considered what your gut instinct has told you, then now is the time to accept that you are where you are. I'm not suggesting you sit back and don't participate in your care. What I am suggesting is that you get comfortable with your individual risks and what is currently available to you, so that you can move forward rather than overthink and perhaps come overwhelmed or feel out of control. No matter what type of birth you are planning or end up with, practicing relaxation and breathing during pregnancy, birth, and shortly after you have had your baby may help you better manage your emotions and your body's response to the changes you are experiencing. Key points. Aim to avoid engaging the thinking part of the brain, neocortex, during labour. The fetus ejection reflex means the body can give birth without any conscious thinking. When the mind is relaxed, the body can get on with what it's meant to do. Letting go allows the mammalian brain to take over and for the body to release the right hormones. Breathing techniques will help get you into a state of relaxation. You need to practice breathing and relaxation techniques daily to really reap the benefits. You can use hypnobirthing in any birth context.